All right, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to talk about the blood of Christ tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Last week we looked at the overall thought of verses 11 through 18. And tonight I want to do a break-off study on a very important subject that Paul brings up there in verse number 13, and that is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. So Ephesians 2, we'll read verses 12 and 13. Paul says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Tonight I want to look at the blood of Christ and what it does for us. Let's pray, and we'll get into our study tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time that we have to gather. We're thankful that you sent your Son from heaven, that he willingly came, obediently went to that cross and shed his precious blood for us. Lord, I pray tonight as we do this study on the blood that we would see why it had to be this way, a bloody death. And then, Lord, the significance of what that blood did for us. May you help us as we search your scriptures to come to the correct conclusions. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start tonight in Leviticus 17. So if you will, make your way there. Again, quite a few Bible passages we're going to be at. Leviticus 17. What we're going to see as we make our way through this study tonight is how important the shedding of Christ's blood was. Christ couldn't have just died by strangulation. He couldn't have just died by poison. He couldn't have just died by a non-bloody method. His death had to be a bloody death. His blood had to be spilt. And here in Leviticus 17, we're going to see why. So that's what I want to look at first, why the blood, and then we're going to see what the blood did for us. Leviticus 17, let's start reading in verse number 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So when God gave his law to Moses, to the nation of Israel, he specifically told them, don't eat, drink blood. Why did he tell them to do that? The first reason is given to us in verse number 11. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Physically, our life depends on blood, no matter if you're talking about humans or animals. If your blood drains from your body, your life drains from your body. and thus blood became very symbolic for life itself. In that day, pagans would eat the blood of animals and humans because they understood this truth as well. Life is in the blood. So they would eat or drink the blood of an animal, the blood of a human, to get that person's or animal's life. At least that's what they thought was taking place. And God, when he gave his law to his people, said this, I don't want you doing that. Don't drink or eat the blood. Why? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Life belongs to me. You do not get to eat it. Second reason he gives there in verse number 11, he says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Notice the semicolon, so connected and joining thought. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. Again, another enjoining thought. For, here's why, second reason, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Because life is represented by blood, God was going to make blood his method of atonement, his method of satisfaction, his method of reconciliation. Life had to be atoned with life. Blood was symbolic of life. And therefore, if an atonement was going to be made for your life, what had to be given? Blood. Because blood was symbolic of life. That's why if you study the Old Testament sacrificial system, Hebrews 9:22 says it like this, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. There was no remission, no atonement, no satisfaction without blood being spilt. Why? Because life can only be atoned by life. And how is life represented? Blood. So blood had to be spilt if life was going to be atoned for. Now again, let's bring this truth forward into the New Testament with Christ. If Jesus was going to make atonement for our sins, and according to Romans 5:11, which we'll look at here in just a few minutes, he did make atonement for our sins. What was Jesus going to have to shed according to Leviticus 17:11? Blood. Our lives had to be atoned for. So he had to give his life for our life. What is symbolic of life? Blood. He couldn't just be strangled. Life is represented by blood. Blood is the symbol. And so blood had to be spilt. This is why Jesus' death had to be a bloody death. It wasn't enough for Jesus to die by strangulation. It wasn't enough for Jesus to die by poison. His blood had to be spilt, and he had to die by means of his blood leaving his body. And that's exactly what Christ did when he went to the cross. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was slashed. Pierce went into his side. And his blood was spilt as he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. Now that we know why Jesus had to shed his blood, let's get into what his shed blood did for us. And I have 10 things for us to look at tonight, so we're going to try to move quickly through these. Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 1. Before we get into the... Does that make sense? Sometimes people have a hard time with why blood had to be shed. But blood was the symbol of life. And therefore, blood had to be shed. A bloody death. Not just a death. A bloody death. Ephesians 2, Colossians 1. We're going to start here because this is where we looked at last week. Ephesians 2 and Colossians chapter 1. there is nearness, peace, reconciliation because of the blood of Christ. You could probably make those all different points because they are different words, but they are all the same idea, so I'm going to lump them together here. There is nearness, peace, reconciliation because of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 13 through 15. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How were we made nigh? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, that's the bloody death, having slain the enmity thereby. Colossians 1, verse 20 through 22. And having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, how? In the body of his flesh through death, that's a bloody death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So the Bible tells us this, before we got saved, we were at enmity with God and we were at enmity with each other. What could bring us near? Near to God, near to one another. The Bible says it was the blood of Christ that did that. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that brought reconciliation, that brought peace, that brought this union with us and God and with us and each other. When we are washed with the blood of Christ, all stains of sin are removed and we are brought near to God. And not just near to God. Again, the primary point here of Ephesians chapter 2 is that we are brought near to each other. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't just wash away your sins. It washes away your skin color. It washes away your ethnicity. It washes away your social status. It makes us all equal. We're all blood-bought saints. And we can have equality with each other now, not trying to have one-ups over each other. You know why? Because you're washed in the blood and I'm washed in the blood. And guess what? When we have that as our commonality, there's peace. There's reconciliation. And Paul teaches here that nearness, that peace, that reconciliation that we have with each other and that we have with God is only because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All right, number two, go with me to Psalm 49 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Psalm 49 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Second point, there is redemption because of the blood of Christ. There is redemption because of the blood of Christ. We won't spend a long time on this one because we did a whole message on this a few months ago, but we will read these verses and make a few comments. Psalm 49, start reading verse number 6. The Bible says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he shall still live forever and not see corruption. So the Bible says this, the ransom of your soul is quite precious. Wealth, money, riches cannot redeem it. You know why? They're not precious enough. What is precious enough to redeem a soul? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Again, this is what the world doesn't understand, and until they do understand it, they really can't become a Christian. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. That's very interesting. The world puts all of its stock in silver and gold, and the Bible says those corruptible things, those things are not precious enough to redeem your soul. What redeemed us? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The only thing precious enough, costly enough to redeem our soul was blood. Life. Life for life. And Jesus laid down his life by shedding his blood for us. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, don't need to turn there. Both of those scriptures say this: we have redemption through his blood. Romans chapter 5, third point. Romans chapter 5. There is justification because of the blood of Christ. There is justification because of the blood of Christ. Romans 5, verse 10. Sorry, back up to verse number 9, or verses 8 and 9. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verses 9 and 10 are our next point. Verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What makes a man righteous before God? That's what justification is. Justification is God declaring you righteous. According to the scriptures, what justifies you? Not your good works, not gold and silver. It's the precious blood of Christ. You have to be washed in the blood. And if you are washed in the blood, that justifies you, that declares you righteous. Christ's bloody death paid the penalty for our sins, thus satisfying the wrath and justice of God, and he can look at you and he can look at me and declare us justified, amen, righteous. Fourth point, this is verses 10 and 11. There is atonement because of the blood of Christ. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, of course we know that's a bloody death, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement means reconciliation after enmity, satisfaction made by giving an equivalent for an injury. As I was doing some study on this, I think it's best to see atonement as the big umbrella that all of these other concepts fit into, like reconciliation, redemption, and justification. All of those are mentioned in verses 9 and 10. Collectively, all of those things, redemption, justification, reconciliation, are called the atonement. So here's what Paul is teaching in all of these verses here. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, him dying on the cross, rising from the dead, you were the recipient of the atonement. You were reconciled, justified, and redeemed because of the blood of Christ. So there is atonement because of the blood of Christ. Go back to Romans chapter 3, number 5. Here's another big word for us. There is propitiation because of the blood of Christ. Romans 3. Verses 24 through 26. Let's back up to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The word propitiation It means appeasement, satisfaction. It is the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. We're going to talk about this in much greater detail next week in our morning service. I don't think we fully understand, and even as Christians, probably we have a much better understanding, but definitely the world does not fully understand what sin does to God. What do I mean? How a holy God sees sin. We sin every day, and if it's not horrible, it's no big deal to us. But any sin to God is a major offense to Him because He is perfectly holy. And it's hard for us. We understand this when it comes to the big sins, murder, and those types of things. Then our righteous hatred gets stirred. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. But do you know God's righteous hatred is stirred at the littlest of disobedience? It is. That's sin. He's holy. It bothers His holiness for sin to take place. Because of that, God has a wrath that He's going to pour out on sin. We don't like talking about it, but God has wrath, and He will pour it out on sin unless His wrath is appeased. Propitiation is the act of appeasement. Jesus Christ, by shedding His blood, became the propitiation for our sins. His blood satisfied the wrath of a holy God. And therefore, you and I, the Bible says at the end, He can be just and the justifier, because His wrath has been appeased by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. So there is propitiation because of the blood of Christ. Number 6, Ephesians 1 and Hebrews chapter 9. Ephesians 1 and Hebrews chapter 9. I keep itching to tell you a little bit about next Sunday morning's message, but we're going to be looking at the wrath of God. And it's not a subject that we often talk about or we like to talk about, but the Bible has a lot to say about the wrath of God. And in our modern Christianity, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, so don't, please, we just only like to talk about the love of God. And God is love, 1 John 4. But you know, 1 John is the third to last book in your Bible. Before you're ever told about God's love, you know what you're told over and over and over again? God's wrath. So when you get to God's love, you can understand how great it is then. Because you've just been told throughout your whole Old Testament, God's angry at sin. And God has wrath against sin. And then finally God reveals to you, I love you. And that's why I sent Jesus Christ. But we forget the God of love is also a God of holy wrath. We'll talk about that Sunday morning. Ephesians 1 and Hebrews 9, there is forgiveness and remission because of the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The word remission means cancellation of a debt or penalty, forgiveness, pardon. The word forgiveness means the pardon or remission of an offense, remission of a debt. Remission and forgiveness are almost interchangeable words in the Bible. But the point is this: what cancels our sin debt against God? The blood of Christ. The reason why God can forgive you is because His Son shed His precious blood. If there was no shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. There could be no forgiveness of sins. If your sins have been forgiven, and if you're a Christian, they have been, that is solely on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without His blood being shed, there would be no forgiveness and remission of sins. Say there in the book of Hebrews, number 7 is Hebrews chapter 13. Number 7, there is sanctification because of the blood of Christ. Sanctification because of the blood of Christ. Hebrews 13, verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. We did a whole message on this, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight. But the word sanctify means to set apart, to purify, to make holy. It surprises us that this is one of our titles, but as you read the New Testament, the Bible calls the believer holy. Now, our practice isn't always holy, but guess what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you? It made you holy. Our good works didn't do that, but the blood of Jesus Christ did that. The Bible specifically said that's why He suffered and bled and died on that cross, to sanctify His people, to make them holy. So there is sanctification because of the blood of Christ. Number 8, 1 John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1. There is cleansing because of the blood of Christ. There is cleansing because of the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then Revelation 1, verse number 5. We'll start in the second statement of that verse. John writes, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. We just sang the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Baptism cannot take away your sins. The blood of Jesus is the only thing powerful enough to take away our sins. And that's why we sing the wonder-working power of the blood. There is cleansing because of the blood of Christ. Number 9, Ephesians 2, Hebrews chapter 10. Ephesians 2, Hebrews chapter 10. By the way, this is no doubt where these songwriters got the ideas and words for their song. Verses just like what we're reading tonight. Ephesians 2, Hebrews chapter 10. There is access because of the blood of Christ. We looked at this last week for just a moment. Ephesians 2, 18. For through Him, speaking about Jesus Christ, and if you read the context, talking about His body on the cross, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Hebrews 10, verse 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. When Christ died on the cross, shed His blood, Do you remember what? Well, we talked about it last week. Was it last week? I'm trying to think of what I talked about last week. Last week or the week before. When Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, what happened in the temple? The veil was rent in twain. The veil of Christ's body was torn, blood being shed, and the veil in the temple was rent in twain. What took place because of the blood of Christ? Access. We won't have time to go all through it tonight. Only one person allowed into the holiest of holies. That was the high priest one time a year. And if he went in on bad terms, he died. The other priests could minister in the holy place, but they could not go beyond the veil. And now the Bible says this, because of the blood of Christ, we have boldness to enter into the very throne of grace. Let that sink in. We all have access to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what his blood did for us. One more, 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 15 and 1 Corinthians 15. No, Revelation 12, 1 Corinthians 15. That's the second time I did that. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we're going to get started first. Now, this verse doesn't specifically say the blood of Christ, but the second one will, which is why I threw this one in. It's actually the one my mind went to first as I was thinking about this point. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, Paul says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse number 11. The Bible says this about those saints during the time of the tribulation. "And they overcame him," speaking about Satan, verse number 10. How? "By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Satan may be able to kill this body. The world may be able to have its way with our body. Death, which the Bible calls an enemy, still has effects on this body. But thanks be to God, I will overcome all of those by the blood of Jesus Christ. When they kill my body, my soul will go be with the Lord. So who's the real victor? I am. In Revelation, again, we're talking about saints that are going to be highly persecuted. And they're going to lay down their lives. But yet, they overcame Satan. How did that happen? I thought Satan overcame them by killing them. The blood of the Lamb meant they were saved. And they go be with the Lord. One day, we will all have victory over sin, Satan, and death. And that is only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We will be resurrected to new life because Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross. His blood gives us the victory. So 10 things there. You could make 12 or 14 of them. I combined them down, though, to these 10 things. Why the blood of Christ? Because life had to atone for life. And the Bible says life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood had to be spilled, blood had to be shed. What did his blood being shed do? All of those things. And aren't you thankful for that? Without the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have none of those things. But because he went to the cross and shed his blood, you put your faith in his blood, all of those things are now applicable to you. You have redemption and justification and reconciliation and peace and victory, and all the list goes on. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All right, any thoughts or comments about that tonight? More of a Bible study.